All right, well, my talk's going to take about 10 or 12 minutes today. And the title of the talk is Coexisting with Wild Wombats in Australia. So, good afternoon. Thank you very much to Wombatized for inviting me to say a few words. 7 years ago, my family and I moved to a 100-acre property at Woodlands, just on the edge of Mittagong. We often call it the 100-acre wood. My wife grew up in Sydney and always wanted to live on the land. I grew up on the family property at Wellington, which my great-great-grandfather settled in 1863, and which I'm passing on to my children, who will be the sixth generation of the McLeod family to live on that block of land. Growing up on the farm, I was inducted, or kind of indoctrinated, really, into the mindset of being a farmer. Certainly things have changed since my grandfather's day, and farmers today are much more mindful about caring for and coexisting with their land, but still that mentality of, let's call it, maximum production exists. And that's the mindset I brought to our 100 acres out at Woodlands. And the first thing to come to my attention, apart from the wombats, here's Adrian, were the wombat burrows. Hi, Adrian.
Hello.
Okay, so I said to myself at that time, 7 years ago, right, things have got to change. All these wombats, all these burrows, we've got to get ourselves ready for maximum production. But then something happened. It's hard to remember now, but back in 2018, we were in a terrible drought. Mm. We noticed that the wombats living on the property were very poor. There was virtually nothing to eat. We put out some water stations, but as a farmer being trained to care for animals, I contacted the local wombat community to find out what wombats eat. We just couldn't bear to see them obviously so hungry. I think, Tanya, that's when I met you at that time. Anyway, we started putting out oat and hay and extra cool biscuits each day, and they responded. Every evening we'd watch as these sort of grey boulders came meandering up the paddock to the feed stations. We'd get home from work and they'd be waiting for us on the back porch.
Oh.
If we were late, they'd savage the broom. Then I started to realise how clever they are. How each wombat has a completely different personality from the next. They are playful, affectionate, obstinate, and stoic. Over time, I was able to change my mindset from one to one of empathy, respect, and yes, love. Instead of sticking to my original plan of maximum production, I found simple ways to work around wombats. For instance, we have horses, and my wife's horsey friends are always saying, oh, wombat burrows, they're dangerous, you know, be careful, be careful. But I simply installed those polythene pipe hoops over the burrows to show where they are, and we've never, ever had a problem. I could quite easily work around wombats and that we could happily coexist. Change is one of the things I'm pretty much most proud of in all of my 59 years. I changed, I grew, I discovered a deeper meaning. And it's this mindset change that I'm proud to share with you today, in which I intend to take on tour and speak to farmers, other farmers about right across Australia. My new perspective, and the one which essentially I'm dedicating the rest of my life to, is that promote the promotion that wombats are an asset, not a liability.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, a wild wombat should be seen as nothing less than a national treasure. They're the oldest marsupials on earth. They are incredibly intelligent, and to know a wombat is to know something truly ancient. To carry out this mission, I've started Wombats Australia. You can keep in touch with me at wombatsaustralia.com.au, and I encourage you to sign up to the newsletter because a lot is going to happen over the next few years. So, to carry out the mission, I've started Wombats Australia. wombatsaustralia.com.au is the website. I encourage people to sign up for the newsletter because a lot is going to happen over the next few years, and we need the support of every wombat friend, every wombassador, as I call, to get the job done. This is our new logo. I thought I'd bring that and show you. I think the most valuable thing I could just share with you is the mission and the way we intend to fulfill it, or one of the ways. Our mission is to save the species. Wombats are facing extinction. The northern hairy-nosed wombat, although they've come back from the absolute brink, is still classed as critically endangered. The southern hairy-nosed is classified as threatened. And our local guy, the common wombat, is classified as near threatened. Mm. And that's one of the first things I think we must aim to change, their name.
Yes.
It simply doesn't help our wombats or the mindset of landowners, given that they are near threatened, to refer to them as common wombats. I think they should be referred to by their correct title of the bare-nosed wombat, and the term common wombat should be struck from all records. When you understand that a female wombat can only produce one offspring every 2 years, you start to appreciate just how tenuous their existence has become. They are not common. Recently, there's been an abundance of wild pigs out west and here in the Southern Highlands, and I saw on Landline that a single sow can produce, 48 piglets in 2 years. And then those piglets can go on to produce other piglets. So from a single sow, 120 offspring can be produced in 2 years. Mm. Compare that to the bare-nosed wombat, who can produce just a single joey over that period of time. Basically, wombats face three existential threats. The massacre on country roads, the curse of mange, and the loss of natural habitat. Has anyone seen a dead wombat in the road recently? You know, it's tragic, it's heartbreaking, and more can and needs to be done to prevent this. I know the wombat community is working hard to fight mange, but I'm going to just not talk about that today, because I want to talk about, briefly, the loss of habitat. And there is no greater or no group of individuals better positioned to reduce that threat than landholders. So let me speak briefly to the plan I have to preserve, protect and expand wombat habitat. Basically, I intend to talk to farmers like me, and I'll encourage farmers to consider the following points. One, a wombat on your property is an asset, not a liability. Two, a wombat is not like a wild pig. It's not a rabbit. It's not a pest. And three, I want farmers to be financially compensated to preserve wombat habitat. Here's an interesting figure. You guys will know this. I've worked out that the cost to raise a pinky wombat through to release is at least $50,000. What a blessing our volunteers are. That figure comes from all the hours and the vet bills and the travelling and the care of the joey that's rescued on the side of the road right up to the release a year and a half later. This incredible work is done as a love job by the most wonderful people. Unfortunately, not everyone shares that love. That's why I want farmers to be compensated for preserving wombat burrows on their land. Just like sheep or cattle, I want farmers to think of wombats as having a commercial value. To achieve this, I intend to apply for funding through the Australian Government's Saving Native Wildlife Program, which has a budget of $224 million over 4 years. I also believe that this important work can quickly become self-funding. The goal is to pay farmers who have wombat habitat on their land around $2,000 a year to preserve it. Farmers already care for their land. Wombats just become part of the business of running a successful, sustainable Australian farm. That's it. To back up this plan, I will work to strengthen the laws that protect wombats. My research shows that the law is very weak in this area. Yes, it's illegal to harm a wombat. However, a farmer can seek a license to cull wombats in New South Wales, Victoria, South Australia, and Tasmania. To investigate this process, I applied for one of these licenses myself.
Oh, I love you.
And I can tell you after applying for one of these licenses, they're easy to acquire. We'll push for greater enforcement of existing government regulations that protect wombat habitat. There's a thing called, you guys probably know this, Wombat Burrow Protection Zone, which is supposed to be a wombat safe area. I looked this up through National Parks and Wildlife, and although it's written into the Act, not a single wombat burrow protection zone has yet been defined. So, in other words, and let me quote from the Act here. It is an offence to destroy, damage or disturb wombat burrows without a permit, except in the following scenarios, where you're the landholder on which the wombat burrow is, yeah, or if the burrow is located outside a wombat burrow protection zone, remembering that not a single wombat burrow protection zone has yet been declared. It's crazy. Need the Act urgently amended. And in the next couple of weeks, I will be writing to the National Parks and Wildlife and other relevant authorities, thank you, to bring this to their attention. As it stands now, any landholder at any time has the right to legally bulldoze a burrow and bury the inhabitants. It's barbaric, it's un-Australian, but it's still happening and we need to call stop on this immediately. Finishing up now with a little bit of something I thought was very interesting. Tanya taught me this, but did you know that wombat burrows are ancestral? At the time a wombat mother weans her joey, she will often leave the family burrow and go in search of a new burrow herself because it's easier for her to dig a new burrow than it is for the juvenile. The juvenile will then take over that burrow and have her baby, and so on. And this behaviour, I've read, is known to go on for generations. A single wombat burrow could be 100 years old. Hell, who knows, some of the wombat burrows up the back of my property at Woodlands could be 1,000 years old. And people wonder why, when they build a shed or something on that site, that the wombat wants to try and dig back in. Look, we happily live with a wombat under